Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the Internet is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
This is terrible. Terrible. Apparently every Keurig machine that makes coffee in America has self-exploded. There are pieces all over the place. Carnage, coffee cups, little tiny empty plastic containers. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, the humanity. Of course, I don't drink coffee anyway, so I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah, me either. Somebody wants to buy an expensive coffee machine and then smash it.
Smash coffee.
More power to them, because they don't run ads on my favorite TV and radio show anymore. You know who does run ads on your favorite TV and radio show now?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors.
That's right, here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads, and our first sponsor is me. That's right, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How could you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You can get them weekly. You can get them bi-weekly. You can get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks.
That was kind of clever, slipping that in there early.
I know. Well, yeah, our sponsors are wonderful. I use them. I don't just advertise. They don't just buy advertising. I use them. I use the Grays. I use the Dream Host. I use the Flabby R, which is only on the website, but it's a booze. You buy booze through the mail. Dollar Shave Club, I use them.
Me too. I use that one, although you can't tell by looking at me that I only shave once a week.
Well, then your razors last a lot longer, don't they?
Whether I need to or not.
Ah. And how does the wife like that? Does the wife like the fact that you get all bristly and scrubby?
I don't get a lot of loving.
Well, maybe if you shaved, you would.
Well, I better get more blades.
There you go.
Have you ever bought the One Wipe Charlie's?
Yes, I have.
Yes. That's all we have to say. Folks, go buy yourself some One Wipe Charlie's. I bought them for my father-in-law, whose name, coincidentally, is Charlie.
And they're very, very good and great when you're traveling or you're at work.
Yes. Or you happen to be like me and have a day full of gut rot.
Well,
but we're not talking about freaking. We're going to save freaking and geeking for our normal spots.
Wait, didn't I just talk to you yesterday?
It seems like it, doesn't it? I was going to try to do KFAB and say, so, Corey, how has your week been? But we already knew from last episode. We first of all, kudos to Corey for getting the podcast up in less than 12 hours from the time we recorded it.
And I recorded another podcast in between.
Yeah, he's just...
There's a new episode of Bad Advice coming on Friday.
But the real question is, even though it'll be a week from when we recorded. What is your NaNoWriMo count at?
21,000 right now.
Okay, so you might be pretty close to finish by the time we talk next week.
Oh, no. This is the hard week of open enrollment. We have two of the clients whose open enrollment is ending. So today was the day before one of them ends, and we got triple the calls we got on Friday.
Nice.
That means tomorrow. Now, last year when this client ended, the day they ended, normally, you know, we get maybe 600-700 calls. During open enrollment, it kicked up. I haven't looked at today, but it was probably like 1,200 to 1,300 calls. The last day of open enrollment last year, we got 4,000 calls. And today, we were it was just call after call after call after call after call after call all day. I didn't get a breather in between. And tomorrow will be just as bad. Wednesday will slack off, but then Thursday and Friday are the last 2 days for another of the clients. And then we go into the weekend, where it's my weekend to work at the group home. Then next week, the week that this drops, I only work 3 days because it's the week before Thanksgiving, but it's the third client that will be ending. So I have a feeling that's going to be nuts, too. And I'm pretty much working 12-hour days every day until Thanksgiving. And then I have the 4 days of Thanksgiving off.
Yeah. See, I have I've got my 3 days off starting today, and then I work 3 days. I'm off the week of Thanksgiving. I got to go in the 26th, which is a day I tried to get off because I thought it'd be kind of cool to have like a long string off. But apparently, that's going to be a very busy travel day.
Really?
And they are. I know. And apparently, the management has told not to give anybody time off unless they've already done it. Which is, like, for me, I thought for sure somebody come up and say, you know, Joe, I know you're on vacation, but could you really work? But I guess since I'm working the 26th, that's my penance.
Ah.
And then I'm off another 3 days. And somewhere in there, Corey and I are going to hopefully have a geeking day.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to record while we're traveling, but we'll have something to talk about, too.
Yes. So we were given a book to review, Joe.
We were.
And I hear that you kind of missed the deadline.
No, they shut it off on me, but unbeknownst to them, I have actually read copies of this as I wandered over to my favorite local comic book store, The Source.
Ah!
And I looked at it on the shelf, and it was one of those, first of all, the title is it Justice League Power Rangers? Is there any other title to it?
No, I just think it's Justice League Power Rangers.
Okay, so it's a crossover, and you know, I'm a sucker for a crossover, especially when it's properties that I actually have enjoyed in the past. And I believe the Power Rangers involved are the original Power Rangers when the heck was that? That had to have been late 90s, I think.
No, I remember it was early 90s because my
early?
Son was a wee lad.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was early 90s because that was one of the shows when we had Hot Comics. We had locked up the rights to the X-Men, so no one else could advertise on it. At least none of the comics, and then comic shops. And then Cap City was doing a deal where all the retailers, including Schindler's, were going to advertise and do some TV stuff. And, of course, everybody was like, what about X-Men? Well, we can't do X-Men. And, of course, all of us Hot Comic guys just kind of smirked quietly to ourselves. But Power Rangers was definitely one of the shows. I believe, if I recall right, it actually sometimes got higher ratings than X-Men. So that was the one that we actually looked to advertise on. But by the time we got the group advertising, I think, ran a few ads. But Hot Comics decided not to run any ads on it. The also thing that was happening is everybody's going crazy trying to get the toys. And, you know, we couldn't get them through Diamond because, you know, naturally, you know, when the big wigs jumped, and back then I think it was Toys R Us, Children's Palace. Well, they might have been gone by then. And Walmart, Kmart. So, you know, you had a lot of toy stores popping about. So a little tiny Diamond Comics would come and say, "Can we order some too?" Ho, 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 ho. No effing way. everything cooled off, they were like, Diamond, would you like to order some? And they were like, yeah, right.
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
They were in the previews occasionally, but I remember going around, it was like the big 7-inch dolls that were very articulated, so you could pose them really well. The crazy Zords, and they transformed the way they did in the show. You know, you get the Megazord, and it went into five pieces, and then you could get the Dragon Zord, which would also fold up, and then there was like another piece that you could sink them into, which is just amazing. Transformers had nothing on these guys. And, of course, I had all these toys, and I made the mistake of letting Dana play with them when she was growing up. Not that that was the mistake, but what the mistake was is while I was gone, my wife would clean Dana's room, and I told her, don't throw away any of the small parts because they might be for something. Well, pretty much all the small parts had been thrown out. So now I have pieces of Power Rangers, but I don't have the complete ones, which is why if you can actually find original ones, they're pretty serious money. I mean, the second or third season in the Power Rangers, when they were changing Zords, they actually had a prime time special on where I remember watching it with Chris, Dana, and myself, and she might have had some friends over. And, of course, it led into the next season of Power Ranger kind of as a cliffhanger. But, I mean, Power Rangers was a pretty huge thing when it came out, and it's lasted. It's almost like Turtles and Transformers and all these things. They just keep reinventing themselves and coming out again, hence the movie last summer, which I haven't seen anyways. So I believe it's Boom does the Power Ranger line of comics, and they're crossing over with DC. I've read a few of the Boom comics here and there, and they're actually not too bad. They do a little bit more seriousness in them than you'd see in the shows. The shows were actually somewhat. Now the TV series was lined up in Fox's what the heck did they call that? Fox Kids programming block. So they had to keep it kind of, you know, superhero-y type comic book type light violence. And you got to remember, even the X-Men cartoon, when it came out, people were like, oh, this comic is so violent. And, you know, guys like Corey and I were like, you know, this is kind of watered down from the actual comic book. So, you know, there was a bit of people criticizing it. The storyline usually was there were the teenagers with attitudes would get called on by the wizard Zordon. What was interesting about it was they used the fight scenes when they were in their suits, and of course the Power Rangers themselves, the Zords in that, were from the Super Sentai series. So they would actually cut those in, and there were always some rules that the Rangers had to follow. They couldn't use their powers for personal gain. They couldn't escalate a fight until the enemy did, which is why it was always usually the enemy would show up human size, they'd fight, and then he'd grow bigger, so they'd call on the Zords, and if they were super enemy, they'd call the super Zords, and so on and so on. In the original Power Ranger, the Super Sentai, you know, the Green Ranger died. Well, he didn't die in the kids' version. He just lost his powers. I was looking at the date here. 1993 is when this started, and it's still going strong. So the comic series, like, if you like the Power Rangers, and I'm going to repeat this a few times, you'll probably like the comic series because it takes it, does a little bit more complex arcs than you have to do in a single half-hour episode or, you know, two half-hour episodes or even three sometimes. And it's a little darker. They cover some of this character angst a little bit better than the show. Because, you know, the shows, they were all, you know, they're pretty square for the most part. So now, fast forward, and for some reason, DC and Boom get together and decide to do a Justice League Power Ranger crossover. And I believe it was a 6-issue series. And, you know, let's, since we're doing things backwards, Corey, you start. Let's hear your review of this first.
All right. For me, there is absolutely no nostalgia for the Power Rangers. My son watched it while I was at work, and he quit watching it as soon as the dinosaurs were no longer robots. And was actually angry about that fact, that the dinosaurs were no longer robots. So, yeah, I don't have any nostalgia for it. And as I read it, first off, it's the animated Justice League. So it's not a grim, gritty, you know, whatever. It's drawn in an animated style. This was a book for kids. And to my mind, this is one of those books for kids that adults are not going to care for at all.
With one caveat. If you're really a big Power Ranger fan, you may care.
Well, that we'll get to your review.
No, I'm not reviewing. I'm just throwing it in there because I know friends of mine who are bigger Power Ranger fans than me who love this, and they're adults. So, you know, it can't be a blanket statement, but that's a good point you bring up. You don't know who the Power Rangers are. If I say, who's Lord Zedd, you're already lost.
Not only did I not know anything about the Power Rangers, this book does not introduce them to you. All I know is that they have some city that they protect, and it disappears, and everything about them is goofy and childish. It really reads like the kind of stuff that was aimed at kids back in the 70s and 80s, that, you know, there are things that are aimed at kids that adults can like the Warner Brothers cartoons, like the Jay Ward stuff. Then there was stuff that's just aimed at kids, and there's nothing in it for the adults. There was nothing in this for me as an adult. The Rangers themselves had no personalities. It used to be the knock on DC that back in the 60s, in the Justice League book, any character could give any other character's dialogue, and boy, did that really feel like how this was. I didn't learn anything about the Power Rangers. Their main villain, I still don't know what his motivation is, other than he's evil because he's evil and he's evil. There was a nice running gag with Batman, you know, kind of being Batman. You know, he's an aloof jerk who wants to scare people, and they had some fun with that. The art was okay for what it was, but unless you have massive nostalgia for the Power Rangers, I got nothing out of it. I really got nothing out of it. It was pleasant to the eye. It was drawn in the animated style, and I imagine if you give it to your 9 or 10-year-old who's really into both of these, they're going to love it. I think if you're wanting to wallow in nostalgia for, you know, a trade paperback, you might like it too. But unless you're seeped in the Power Ranger lore, there's nothing in this that's going to make you go, oh, cool, I need to know more about them. Because I left going, ugh, I don't care. Joe, your review.
See, I would disagree with you. I don't think this is a book you give to your 9, 10-year-old because these are not their Power Rangers. They're not going to know who the hell these guys are because they're based on properties all the way back in 1993. Had they tied this into the movie that just came out, yeah, then maybe it would work. I do agree that it is pretty much a nostalgia trip. If you know the Power Rangers, if you're gaga over them, this is the one that you probably want to read, or you want to maybe give it to a fan of the Power Rangers. Like I said, I know a lot of adults that are Power Ranger fans from about, you know, again, when I had the comic store and things like that, and they really enjoyed the series. As for me, I enjoy the regular series more than the crossover. To me, the problem lies in the power structure of, I mean, you got Superman in the Justice League. He could just basically fly up to the moon and pop Lord Zedd like a Zedd. I found it hard to believe, you know, again, part of the storyline comes across that, yeah, they're thrown into the wrong universe, and they some, I think Zach got stranded in the DC universe, and the villains are more monstrous than anything Rita or Zed. So, they're, you know, fish out of water could have been a good theme. The old, hey, let's, we're in a new world, we can take it over type thing. I don't know, it just didn't work. There are different structures here. The Justice League could make such short work of the Power Ranger villains, and the Power Rangers, you know, they don't belong in the DC universe. There's nothing for them to fight. Unless, who's the kryptonite site ape comes loose? I can't even remember his name.
Titano!
If Titano goes loose, maybe they have something to fight. So, for me, it was kind of a mismatch. Maybe had they gone, like, Teen Titans, that might have worked a little better. Kids with kids, or, you know, teenagers. It was like you said, I enjoyed it for the nostalgia thing. Part of me was going like, this isn't really well. It did sell pretty good because number one did go for a second print. I don't know how many people hung on the full 6 months to pick up the whole thing. And, of course, it had the obligatory variants. Right now it's out in a hardcover. I think as a Christmas gift, this might be a decent thing to pick up. As for someone like myself, again, and I said this, if you're really, really into the Power Rangers, not only check this out, but check out Boom's series. You'll probably enjoy it. For me, Justice League Power Rangers was a borrow. Corey?
Ignore. If you're not a hardcore fan, you're not. This isn't going to make you a fan, and you're not going to learn anything, really. In these crossovers, you've got a perfect opportunity for the characters to introduce themselves to each other.
Which is what they should do when they first meet.
And instead it was like, oh, it's the Power Rangers, and they've got robots, and, oh, now we're getting into fighting.
Yeah. Now, there's been other crossovers, too. I mean, did you read, like, the Star Trek original series Planet of the Apes crossover?
Yes, I thought that was well done.
Yeah, see, there was one that was well done.
Talking about the different power structures, though, the Star Trek Green Lantern.
See, that one didn't work for me.
There was absolutely nothing that the Star Trek characters did other than kind of hang around and go, ah, look at all the Green Lanterns can do.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, if you, you know, we could sit here and we could talk, well, how could you make this work? Okay, well, you know what? Green Lantern, your rings die in this universe. Now we have to figure out, that could be the plot device. How can we repower these rings in a universe that doesn't have the same power structure? You know, make the Enterprise crew, and we're talking the Abrams, Chris Pine crew, not the original. But so be it. You know, there'll be more crossovers, except unless you're Marvel Comics. And if we get a chance, we'll review them. You got something you want us to review? Get a hold of us. Send us a copy of it, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we got a big book for next week we're reviewing, Joe.
Uh-oh.
We've got the second volume of Case File Arkham to review.
Ooh, I wonder if I'll have time to read it. I'll have to give that a shot.
And I'm really excited because I liked the first one, and liked it so much, I have them on the show every time they got a new Kickstarter. And the new volume has landed digitally, and they're on a ship from China. So if you ordered it, you should be able to get it within, I would say you'll have it by Christmas. And after our review, if you want it, you'll be able to get it by Christmas, too, over at 01publishing.com.
Cool.
But that's not what we're here to talk about. We did an episode yesterday.
Yeah, and we really, really don't have a lot to talk about.
So, and the stuff that we would talk about that's news-related is stuff we've already talked about.
And some of the stuff that isn't is damn depressing.
I'm going to be blunt, Joe. You know how now everybody's like, oh, this Eddie Braganza thing, and this guy over at Dark Horse, and this guy. These are all, you know, I didn't know. We talked about it a year ago.
We talked about this. And the Eddie Braganza stuff, the DC editor who got fired today for sexual harassment, we talked about that 4 years ago.
Yeah.
This is not a secret.
If you've been following Colleen Doran on Facebook and anywhere in her career, she talks a lot about how as a young artist and creator, she was always being hit on
She was told she would have to do things in order to get work.
Yeah.
She got into the business young, and there were publishers who tried very hard to take advantage of her. And the good thing was she was friends with Kelly Frias, who was a science fiction painter, who she was able to go to, and he would say, no, fuck those people. Don't work for them. But she's had, you know, a distant soil. There were legal problems that kept her from working on that forever. And she talked about it back when you had her at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
There's all the stories now coming out about Julie Schwartz, and people saying, oh, I had no idea Julie Schwartz was a pig after his wife died. We talked about that. We've talked about that forever, about how he would hire hookers to come to shows with them, about how he was always grab-assing. Look, this stuff has been going on, and you can't just say, oh, I just heard about it, because it's been going on forever. What's happened is, finally, people are saying, you know what? It's not right. And like I said a year ago, comics are an entertainment industry now.
And
they're
going to
get the spotlight on them.
Corporations.
Yep, they're going to get the spotlight on them, just like every other form of entertainment, and these people better clean up their acts.
Now, another thing I wanted to talk with, if you're not, you should be either friends or following Terry Beatty on Facebook, because he is almost doing a one-man war against fake and counterfeit art. He's got, every so often he'll pop up on eBay and he'll name the guy who's doing it. Like there's a Charles Schulz original hand-drawn art that is just terrible. Nothing like Schulz. There's another one that somebody just posted saying it was Darwin Cook. It's actually original art by Colleen Doran that somebody pencil or light pencil boxed from another piece of art, Darwin Cook's signature. And this person sells it all the time on eBay. And Terry calls this stuff off. Jim Keith calls this stuff off. It's just, it's to the point where you almost can't buy anything online. I mean, if somebody's got a Jack Kirby piece that they're selling for $100, it's probably not a Jack Kirby piece. Heck, I don't think anybody on eBay has a Jack Kirby piece. Those pieces of art would probably be going to art galleries and auction houses. They're not something that someone's just going to cough up on eBay because they can go for thousands of dollars. And this market is kind of going out of control.
And one of the things, if you're into original art, here's the advice I'm going to give you. One, buy from the artists themselves. And two, if you can't buy from the artists themselves, get involved in the comic art collector community. I didn't even know about the art collector community till we started the convention, and I got to sit down and spend a lot of time with Willie Mellon, who was really into buying original art. And he had Kirby art. He had Ditko art. He had Romita art. There are dealers out there who are legitimate good dealers. Romita Man on the internet is probably one of the best. Spencer Beck is another one. These are people who artists will give them the art to sell. They're agents. There are a few agents out there, and you can actually talk to artists and say, you know, who's your agent? Joe has bought original pieces from Angel Medina. But a lot of these artists, when they come to conventions, they're selling their original art. I can't tell you how many times you go to, you know, the local convention, and there's an artist, and they've got the stacks of art they're selling. I would never buy a sketch off eBay for any reason, because I doubt any of the sketches that are sold on eBay are real.
Although there are people that are making a living selling their own sketches on eBay.
Yes. Another thing that while I'm raging against the machine and I'm pig biting mad, I love Buzz,
which is
Buzz
amazing.
The artist.
Yeah.
You know why? Because when he goes to a convention, if somebody has set up and they're either selling art that's not theirs or they've got unlicensed prints, he will raise a stick. He will go to the convention organizer. He will go online. He will not let it go. And God bless him for that, because he's one of these guys who, you know, he sells a sketch and it's worth good money. And it's not only is it worth good money because he's, you know, it's a Buzz sketch, but because the art is amazing. But he's also, he will go to, you know, somebody who's selling counterfeit art, and he'll berate them and stand in front of their table and scream that they're selling counterfeit art, and he'll go to the convention organizer and say either he goes or I go. There's gotta be a crackdown on a lot of this stuff.
You know, Tony Isabella talks about it online too, because right now with all the interest in Black Lightning, he's saying, you know, if you do see that going around, be it on the eBays or Amazons or even at conventions, people selling Black Lightning prints, DC, Tony, and who's the artist that
Trevor Von Eden?
Thank you. That created it with Tony Isabella. They're not getting a piece of the action, and so he wants you to be able to report that. For the longest time, I know DC Marvel has kind of turned a blind eye towards that. I mean, they don't want to. You know, if I want to go and get an Eric Larson or a Pat Broderick Supergirl, that's fine. You know, I mean, they're just drawing it. It's an original piece of art, but I cannot go around, or neither can any of the artists, to make prints and sell them that way. You see that constantly. I mean, my daughters come back from con and they have, look, I got this print and I got that print. I'm looking at it, and they got like, okay, there's Harley Quinn, there's Doctor Who, and these are not legal by any means, you know. And it's just the way it is. And sooner or later, a crackdown is going to come, and it's going to hurt. I just stay away from it, you know.
Well, and especially with Disney, people were pissing and moaning back in the 80s when daycare centers were, you know, painting Disney murals inside. And Disney cracked down on him, and people were, oh, Disney is so terrible. We painted a bunch of Mickey Mouse, and they sent us a cease and desist order. Yeah, the reason they do that is because they have to protect the trademark and the copyright. They yep. have to. Marvel and DC are going to, they're owned by huge companies. They're going to be protecting their trademarks and their copyrights. And if you think that they're not walking around the San Diego convention or the New York convention or C2E2 and sending out cease and desist orders, buddy, you're living in the 80s.
Yeah, DC back, shutting down a pirate site even as we speak. You know, that's just taking the comics and putting them up. You know, we're talking not old comics. We're talking new comics that, like, they just came out.
Yeah. 7-8 years ago, there was a convention that would follow the WWE around to their big shows, you know, to SummerSlam or WrestleMania or whatever. And there were tape traders, you know, people who would sell, copy off the pay-per-views or shows or create their own compilations and sell them at the shows. And WWE, eventually, one day, they just had their lawyer walk around the convention, and he took down information, and he took business cards, and a week later, you got served. And, you know, these little pissy dealers were pissing and moaning. Oh, WWE is shutting us down. They're trying to destroy our business. No, they're trying to protect their business. You don't have a business. If all you're doing is taking people's copyright and selling their stuff, you don't have a business. You're a leech. You're a weasel. And it's against the law. And they're going to come after you. Especially in a world where advertising's not going to pay the bills, you know, the comic sales are down, you know, more and more, you know, the movies are coming out and they're doing big business, but the DVD sales are gone, Blu-ray sales are gone. They're going to be protecting their stuff much fiercer because they want to make sure they monetize every revenue stream. So instead of going to a convention and buying crap, You should be picking up previews. How'd you like that?
We're getting these segues down pretty good.
That was professional.
I know, I'm scared.
And I also, you know, I see all this stuff about what's going on in the news, and all I can think is, we were on top of that years ago.
Yeah.
If only people would listen to me, Joe.
Well, you know, they're not. What's the last thing we told people to do? Go out and buy Rugrats. Number one. Money in the bank.
That's right. But I got the new previews. It's all I've had time to read because it's November, and November sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, I like November because I'm writing a novel, but still, it's craziness. So, with Dark Horse, I do want to point out the Karen Berger books are just starting to ramp up. She's got a new miniseries listed. Karen Berger, who gave us Vertigo, gave us a whole bunch of good stuff. It's a new miniseries called Kitchen Nightmare, Hungry Ghosts. Anthony Bourdain is the writer. And on a dark, haunted night, a Russian oligarch dares a circle of international chefs to play a samurai game of 100 candles, where each storyteller spins a terrifying tale of ghosts, demons, and unspeakable beings, and prays to survive the experience. Anthony Bourdain has done a couple graphic novels, the Get Jiro graphic novels. I love Anthony Bourdain. His series on CNN is probably one of the best documentary series going. And his comics have been good, too, which surprises me, because you wouldn't think Anthony Bourdain, a celebrity chef doing comics. But his stuff is really good, and with Karen Berger guiding him, this is going to be phenomenal. It is a 4-issue miniseries, so I probably will wait and pick it up as a trade, but there's some of the art is in previews, and it looks really good, too. Anything else from Dark Horse jump out at you, Joe?
Nope.
One of the things I noticed is Dark Horse is really leaning more and more on the... big, expensive video game books. And the one, the Crash Bandicoot Files, which is this big book about the development of the Crash Bandicoot games. Boy, there was a lot when I was looking at that going, I like those games. So I imagine that's a good lucrative business for them. Then over at DC, there's a bunch of books that's already been delayed.
Oh. Is one of them the Terrifics?
All of them are the DC, New Age of Heroes books have all been delayed.
That's too bad, because I was looking at those, and, you know, it takes a lot to get me into a DC book. The one that got me, I was looking at the Terrifics, which puts together Mr. Terrific, Metamorpho, Plastic Man, and Phantom Girl. And I thought, that might actually be kind of fun.
And the cover gimmick the cover gimmick annoys me.
Oh, a vertical?
Yeah, it's a fold-out cover.
Yeah.
Didn't we learn nothing from the 90s?
Oh, yeah, they're redoing everything from the 90s.
Well, yeah, even the Dead Man book by Neil Adams. If you hold it a certain way, you get to see a secret message.
Message.
There was a one-shot I want to point out on page 75 of previews, the Swamp Thing Winter Special, written by Tom King, who did Vision, who's doing Mr. Miracle, who's doing Batman, doing a Swamp Thing story, and the backup is the final story written by Len Wein and drawn by Kelly Jones. So I'm buying that one. Joe, what jumps out at you from DC?
Mostly graphic novels. I'm looking at Aquaman by Peter David, book one. Peter David did a outstanding run on Aquaman. This one reprints Time and Tide 1-4 and Aquaman 0-8. So I'm looking forward to revisiting that. Batman Golden Age, volume 4, a really, really inexpensive way to read these classic ones. I mean, you could do the omnibus, sure. I mean, if you're like Corey and you need a load-bearing bookshelf, omnibuses are great. I suffer from middle-class poverty, so I'm just going the paperback route, so I'll probably pick that up. Young Justice is out, another Peter David book. And the only other one I saw, and I'm looking for it now, I have Motherlands, a six-issue miniseries, which I believe must be Dark Horse because it comes, or Vertigo, there it is. A crazed future where unhinged technologies and interconnected parallel Earths have given rise to a spectacular class of super criminals. And, their most beloved celebrities aren't actors or rock stars, but the bounty hunters who track an exotic multiverse. Yeah, had me at multiverse. So they're basically looking for these prey. It's a six-issue miniseries. Usually I'll wait for the book, but in this case, I think I'm actually just going to pick up the series.
Another trade that I want to point out is Jack Kirby 100. This reprints all of the one-shots that they did for Jack Kirby's 100th birthday. You got Howard Chaykin, Dan Jurgens, Paul Levitz, Mark Evanier. Mark Evanier's Dark Side story was so damn good.
Yes.
Walt Simonson, art by Howard Chaykin, Jacques Bogdanov, Rick Leonardi. Love Rick Leonardi's art. Walt Simonson, Mark Buckingham, Steve the Dude Rude, Dennis Cowan, Bill Sienkiewicz. It's a great series of one-shots. Everybody does like a one-shot of a Kirby character. Myself, I picked up the comics because they reprinted old Kirby stories in the back, and those stories are not in this trade. So you may want to go pick up those individual comics. But really, DC, I know a lot of people are really excited about the New Age of Heroes, even though it's already been delayed. How many different new lines of comics is DC going to have?
Why don't they just use the characters they got?
Well, one thing that was announced kind of quietly is DC has now told the writers and artists that they are to use the, quote, Marvel method, unquote. To give the artist more control over pacing.
Bendis! Save us!
I have a feeling Bendis is not going to be doing that. Bendis has always been a script guy.
Yeah.
But, not a lot that jumped out at me. Yeah, DC, I like The Batman by Tom King, but really, they're not doing comics for me anymore.
No.
IDW.
No.
IDW, the whole thing. No.
Not a single book in IDW. I mean, there's a lot of things I would love to buy if I, could afford it. They do awesome job reprinting stuff. I mean, they got the Walt Disney Treasury Classics. Violet Around the World looks kind of interesting. It's a I don't know. I must have something because I have daughters, but it's like a 12-year-old girl travels the globe with her parents' circus, having adventures and learning to appreciate the joys of being different. But I just don't have the money to do it, unfortunately.
Richard Starks Parker, a new book by Darwin Cook, another where he adapts one of the Richard Starks Parker books. And they relist all of the old ones. If you have not read these books, these are phenomenal. And Darwin Cook does an amazing job on them. The Parker novels are kind of very well-known crime novels. Parker is a career criminal. And the first book has been turned into a movie, I think, three different times. The first one was Point Blank with Lee Marvin, where the lead character, Parker, was involved in a bank heist, and then he got cut out of the bank heist. And he's coming for revenge, and he wants his share of money. And Slayground is one of the novels I have not read yet, so I need to get reading on that before I get this. But Darwin Cook's art captures that late 50s, early 60s era so beautifully. And his pacing and storytelling style. Normally, I don't read adaptations of a novel into a comic because, I've already read the novel. But Darwin Cook does such a good job on it that I have to own these. I think that was about it for me. Although there was one thing that really jumped out at me, and that was the Frankenstein book. Where is that here? Frankenstein Alive, where it was by Stephen Isles and Bernie Wrightson. I am picking this up as a trade because this was the last thing Bernie Wrightson worked on, and then Kelly Jones finished it up. So I will let you know when that comes out as a trade. And, oh, some, they're artifact editions. I'm looking at these, the Basil Wolverton's Weird Worlds. Oh, I love Basil Wolverton's art. Or the Frank Cho Savage Wolverine. God damn. Anything jump out at you over at Image, Joe?
Ice Cream. That is Ice Cream Man, number one. It's an oversized first issue. It's a genre-defying comic book series featuring desperate one-shot tales of sorrow, wonder, and redemption. Each installment features its own cast of strange characters dealing with their own special Sunday of suffering. Get how they fit that in there. So I just that actually caught my attention. I'll probably pick it up, give it a run for a few issues, and we'll revisit it in the future when it finally does come out. Because a lot of these books, I think, we're doing, what, November? So this stuff's coming out January. Anything for you?
First thing that jumped out at me is that they do a spotlight on Brubaker and Phillips, and they show all of the stuff that they've done. Killer Be Killed, Criminal, Velvet, what is it, The Fade Out. Oh, The Fade Out is so fucking good. and Killer Be Killed gets number 15. Another thing is the last issue of Invincible comes out. Number 144, so that long-running comic has ended. Walking Dead 175 is a new story arc, and it's also, Kirkman has said, this is a huge twist, much like when they first found the prison, or when they found Alexandria. This is something where the story is really going to take kind of a right-angle turn and change. So I'm excited about that, and one of the things... They have the Big Hard Sex Criminals hardcovers. And after Joe's review of Sex Criminals, I am going to pick up the dollar reprint of the first issue to see if I want to jump in, because the big books sound exciting because it doesn't just reprint the... they reprint 10 issues, but they also have bonus content, some content exclusively for this volume. And a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. And, Joe, you know how I am with that DVD behind-the-scenes stuff. I like that a lot.
Yes.
You put that in a trade, and if I'm remotely interested, I'm going to go, oh, cool, I want that.
I got to have it all.
And, of course, you know, new issue of Mage. I'm going to point that out every time.
Yep. I wait for the book. I'm a book man.
I can't wait. I've waited long enough. One thing that surprised me, Spawn is still going. Issue 282, Spawn is still going, Joe.
Cranking away. Savage Dragon goes as well. Not as often as Spawn, but he's doing it himself, as opposed to, I think, Dodd's, how do you say, has other creators on board with him.
Yep. And if you had your shop, I would probably order these toys from you, but because you don't, I probably won't. But McFarlane Toys is putting out a bunch of Rick and Morty toys.
Yeah, I saw that.
Rick and Morty is one of those things where I really like the show, but I'm not going to get involved in the fandom, because everything, whenever I go online to read about what the fans are like, is, wow, these fans are assholes.
And they are.
Yeah. Well, anymore, somebody on Facebook over the weekend posted, you know, blah, 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 fandom is full of assholes. And I started thinking, and I said, all fandom's full of assholes. Any fan group eventually becomes a bunch of assholes. So that I just enjoy things. I don't join up in groups. I don't do discussion groups. It's because eventually these people become jerks. Marvel!
I haven't decided on Avengers. I mean, you know I like Mark Waid. I bowed out on Avengers because I really got tired of crossovers. But they're coming
back.
And
now there's a new one.
Yeah, well, no, it's not really a crossover. I think they're just doing it weekly, which
yes.
drives me crazy because it's like 4 times 4. You're already $16 worth of Avengers this month. And that's just the main title. I don't even know if there's other ones because I tend to...
No, they're just going to have the regular Avengers book. And I have a feeling that when it's done, they'll decide what other Avengers books there are.
Yeah, and, you know, so they're listening to what I want. So I'm like, well, yeah, time to put my money where my mouth is, and I may do that. Phoenix Resurrection, again, going weekly, but, you know, it's a miniseries, so I can forgive that. Well, actually, what do we got? 2, 3, 4, 5? Really? Yeah. So, and this is the return of Jean Grey, maybe, maybe not, I don't know, but we'll talk about that later. Just going down, Marvel 2-in-1, we talked about last time.
Oh, it's so pretty.
It does look good. I'm on the fence on the Punisher Omnibus because I really want it. It's, the second Omnibus that has Garth.
It's the Max stuff.
I know, but it's a pay thing, you know. I'm already thinking I definitely am going to buy Avengers Academy Volume 1 because I've never read it. Other than
those are good stories.
I know.
Those are fun.
And I'm looking forward to it. And then there's two epic collections that I really am thinking about jumping on. First one is the Iron Man one. And then trying to find out what it is here. Again, the Legacy hardcover is coming out. I'll probably wait for the trade in that because, you know, like I said, I'm middle-class poverty.
And isn't the other one a New Mutants epic collection?
There is a New Mutants. There's a complete collection that has, which is different than the epics, because the epic tends to be more of a storyline, but the Mutants is a complete collection. It's a lot like the Avenger ones that I drool over and talk
okay.
about constantly. So, and again, I look at this and I'm like, I want that too, because I don't have New Mutants in my collection anymore. And this was back when New Mutants came out, it was groundbreaking because this was like, they're doing a second X-Men book. This is incredible, folks.
Yes, it was a big deal.
And it actually tied into the storyline quite well because at the time, the X-Men were off Earth and Charles thought they died. And in a graphic novel, which I can't tell, do they reprint it in this? I don't know for sure. But they introduced the New Mutants, and then they have the storyline. Of course, it was a big deal, of course, when the X-Men came back. I think these New Mutants are – they're not the ones I'm thinking about. They're the 2003 series, and they do include stuff from 1993. So yeah, that might be why I didn't pick up the New Mutant collection like that. Still looking for Avengers. There's an Excalibur collection, too, which I believe is the Crosstime Caper, which I remember when it first came out. You know, nowadays we're like, oh, yeah, there's going to be 500 crossovers. We don't care. Back then they said this is what, part one of 16? And
no, it started as 1 of 9, and then Claremont just kept growing it. So eventually, I believe on the cover it said something like part 7 of, we don't know.
Yeah. A running gag for that one. Oh, here's the Epic Collection is the time traveling with Dr. Doom.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I have those in different formats. There's the Avengers Academy, which is 1 through 12 plus a lot of crossovers. There's an Daredevil Epic, Mike Murdock Must Die. Yeah.
Look, okay, Adam, I know you love Daredevil. Adam Vermillion, who does Panels and Pizza, huge Daredevil fan. For me, the whole Mike Murdock storyline just was so stupid that I can't read them at all. I just can't read
them. It does include the not brand Ek number 4 material, so that
is.
The Epic, the Excalibur thing is the Crosstime Caper Volume 2. So...
I didn't. I got to go back to see if I picked up number one. But and there's Werewolf by Night Complete Collection. I've got the Omnibus. A lot of good hardcover and paperbacks coming out from Marvel this month. The big ones, like I said, definitely doing Avengers Academy. And if I can, I don't know, maybe get a little overtime, do a little eBay. And I would definitely want to get the Omnibus.
And now we get into all of the other publishers.
Well, what about, was there anything Marvel-wise you wanted?
Just wanted to point out that Punisher book.
Oh, yeah.
You hit on most of the stuff I was hitting on.
Oh, yeah. Other stuff.
First one that pops into my head, and I want to actually kind of point this out. Watchmark, number one. Dave Sim is going to be doing a new number one for Cerebus every month.
Woohoo!
He even announced it in an ad like that.
You gotta love that.
Oh, it's such a shame that he's such an asshole.
Right across from it, on that same page, 244, Strangers in Paradise is coming back. Terry Moore is revisiting it. It's a 25th anniversary thing, because that's back when number one came out all those years ago. And I is this a one-shot or a series?
I believe it is a new series.
It's a series. So I'll probably wait for the graphic novel on this because I found they read a little bit better as a graphic novel. And one of these days I might review it. I just have to pry it out of my daughter's hands because they enjoyed the heck out of it as well.
Joe, pop on over to page 268.
268? Okay.
And down at the bottom, Sky Masters of the Space Force, the complete Sunday strips in color. This was the comic strip that Jack Kirby and Wally Wood did.
Oh, wow.
And this is all of the Sunday strips. Now, the strip didn't last that long, but it was, Jack Kirby and Wally Wood working together. The hardcover is, what, $35? And the thing is, I've never seen this stuff. I don't think it's ever been reprinted well. And it says it's got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, the color guides from Kirby itself, a huge section of original art, rare pieces, and articles by main experts. To me, this is a must-buy. This, anytime you get Jack Kirby stuff that you haven't seen, you know, you're going to jump on it. But I've seen his work inked by Wally Wood. And Wally Wood did beautiful science fiction stuff, gorgeous women. His machinery was impeccable. Imagine those inks on top of Jack Kirby's just way out machines and before even the space race. So this to me is a must buy. And if you're a Kirby fan, you're probably jumping up and down happy about this. One thing I saw in previews that kind of irritated me a lot, there are a lot of Trump comics.
Yeah.
From these little bitty publishers, they're doing all these Trump parody comics. Joe, when you go into the comic shop, do you remember all the Obama parody comics? What are they worth now?
Well, I know the Amazing Spider-Man one's pretty expensive.
How about Barack the Barbarian, or Barack versus Sarah Palin, or Barack versus Limbaugh, or any of those?
Well, I do have the political ones where they talk more about the biography.
Yeah.
Because my goal is actually someday maybe have him autograph one, which I think would be kind of cool.
I'm still trying to get him on the show.
Yeah, he's got time.
And he's a comic fan from the 70s. He liked Conan.
There's a couple things in Dynamite that caught my attention. And one is the classic omnibus for Battlestar Galactica, which is, I've got to look it up again because it's offered, and I don't know when they say the complete omnibus. Oh, there it is. There's a classic Battlestar omnibus, and I'm more interested in the classic line than I am the remake. Because to me, they left the classic kind of open because they canceled it so quick. The regular one, that Sci-Fi did, the revamp, reboot, whatever, that actually has an ending to it. So, you know, you can fill in holes in that. However, something caught my attention. You know, I love me a good crossover. So
I have this one marked, too.
There was Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica, meeting of the classic Battlestar Galactica and the remake. And for the most part, Dynamite's crossovers are pretty good. They tend to stick with the source material. They're fairly expensive because they're $3.99 a pop. I usually try to wait for the trade. But I saw two first names that you put them together. I would read the phone book if he wrote it. Peter David is writing.
Yep.
And he has a little blurb on the bottom of 326 saying, you know, why he wants to put that together. Because it's just, I mean, he's a writer of stuff, and I am loving the idea of this series that he's involved. That was probably the saving thing to get me to buy this thing.
And one of the things that, now I don't know if he's going to touch on this, but I read a really good article about the last season of the Sci-Fi Channel's Battlestar Galactica. A lot of people hated it, but one of the creators talked about, well, go back and read the original, you know, go watch the original. They were drawing off of a lot of Mormon theology for it. So when they bring in the mystic elements and they bring in that stuff, they're actually paying homage to that part of the original Battlestar Galactica, which I never knew.
Oh, kind of like the guys from South Park did when they made that play Book of Mormon.
Yeah, yeah, that's
exactly like that. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the Battlestar Galactica is definitely a child of the 70s. I mean, it basically ends up being a buddy flick, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like it's the way most of the shows are back then. Whereas the Sci-Fi one, I don't think they could have done that had 9/11 not occurred, because now people can get their brains warped behind the idea, hey, our entire civilization's wiped out. We've only got this many people left. They never really covered that horror in the original Battlestar Galactica. There's been books that Richard Hatch has written. Again, they get into the mythicism more. And other things, but in the TV show itself, they never really did. And I think in the Sci-Fi one, they did, almost to the point where it's almost hard to watch, almost hard to binge it, because it's kind of a downer show. But I am really looking forward to this crossover. Anything else from Dynamite? Because I want to take a stop at Tron and Quarterly when you're ready.
One thing that really jumped out at me is the big hardcover of Swords of the Swashbucklers.
Yes. Oh, another one of those.
That was a series that came out from Epic in the 80s, and it was written by Bill Bantlow and drawn early on by Jackson Geiss. Then Geoff Isherwood took over, but Colleen Duran, who we talked about earlier, did some art for it as well. And this is a nice book. It's about 500 pages for $50. It's got the original graphic novel, all 12 issues, bonus content. Hey, you know, you got me with the bonus content. But I have a kind of a weird relationship with Bill Mantlo stuff, because the stuff he did that was really good is really good. Certain runs in the Hulk, the miniseries Rocket Raccoon, the Micronauts. But a lot of his stuff was just kind of generic comics. This was one of those things that showed that if he was given a chance, he could do some really interesting and creative stuff, because this is science fiction, swashbuckling, and with a female lead. And I remember loving this back in the 80s when I originally read it. So it's going to be nice to get it in a nice book on really good paper. And you had a Drawn and Quarterly thing?
Yeah, I blabbed about this earlier when we were doing reviews of old Free Comic Book Day stuff. And they're coming out with Moon Cop hardcover, which I believe might be out before, but this is basically just a kind of a – the guy's a Moon Cop. and the lunar colony's winding down. It's kind of like a small town that's been super circumvented by a new superhighway. And our hero, the moon cop, makes his daily rounds. Zabit grows smaller, population dwindles. It's by Tom Gould, G-A-U-L-D. And when I read the free comic book day thing, I've been looking for this book at all those comic stores, at the half-price books. It's now offered again and drawn in quarterly, and I definitely am going to pick it up. I should also point out, in the same area, they have the Kitaro, which is actually, if you're prone to want to pick that up, that was actually a pretty good read based on the free comic book day giveaway and some of the Halloween Fest stuff that I read before I purged a lot of it.
Over in Fantagraphics, we've got the second volume of The Life and Legend of Wally Wood, edited by Bob Stewart, who's no longer with us, and was... I think he was one of the first real comic super fans. He was involved in the earliest of EC fanzines, worked in and around comics his whole life, passed away a few years ago, and this was kind of his magnum opus, putting together this book about the life of Wally Wood. Volume 1 is also resolicited, but then also on that page is Master Race and Other Stories. And one of the things Fantagraphics doing with the EC stuff is they're doing artist-focused books. Master Race focuses on the Bernie Krigstein stuff. Bernie Krigstein did not do a lot of comics, but the comics he did were amazing. He played with layout. He played with art on the page. Master Race may be one of the best short stories I've ever read. In, out of comics, doesn't matter. Just the way the story is told. Feldstein gave Krigstein the script. Krigstein actually took a 6-page script and drew it longer, which pissed off Feldstein, who was the editor, but it was so good that he had to kind of go, okay, I'm going to print this. But don't you ever do this again. It's also got some of the other fantastic stuff he did, such as The Flying Machine, Slave Ship, Monster from the Fourth Dimension. If you've never seen Bernie Krigstein's art, which is entirely possible because he left comics in the mid-50s, never came back, and did fine art the rest of his life, you need to get this book. This is... one of the best books you're ever going to pick up. And it's, you know, a nice, it's, 232 pages, hardcover, EC stuff, and well worth the price. Well worth the price. Joe, next book?
Probably the last book I'll cover. And this is on my, I got to see what's in it before I buy it. From Two Miles Publishing, they do two magazines that up until now I've been buying nonstop. Alter Ego is one of them, and Back Issue is the other. Back Issue I absolutely love because they tend to cover my golden age of comics when I was reading. A lot of times I'll read through it and I'll get that twinge for, I wish I still had this in my collection. It'll tell me things I didn't know, but just so many of the Silver Age, Golden Age greats that I appreciated and didn't even know it because I was just a kid going to Dreamhaven, going to St. Paul Comic, picking up my monthly comics, pretty much oblivious to whoever was doing the comic, just enjoying what they had. Alter Ego 151 is a book that, a magazine that I, they're $10 books usually, and I mean, we get a discount because we buy them online, but I don't always get the big thrill out of it like I did, especially when they're covering something that I don't know much about. I mean, it's always fun to read and discover things. But for Back Issue, I dig it for the nostalgia kick. Alter Ego 151, though, I am going to pick up because they are covering some of the Golden Age heroes that are drawn by Frank Thomas. And one of them is absolutely one of my favorite characters that I know absolutely nothing about. The Eye, to whom time and distance are nothing, who bears man's thoughts and pierces his conscience. The Eye's powers are limitless, his vengeance terrible. Have no fear of me, says the Eye, but do as I say. Sit down at your desk and prepare to write.
I get these panels of the eye, and it's just a floating eye with darkness, and it's illuminated. It's kind of frowning just a little bit. So I'm looking forward to reading a little bit more about this. I've been hunting down the reprints online, and if I could afford the original ones, I could probably afford low budget copies on the eBays. But it's just, you know, some of these other characters I want to pick up. Michael T. Gilbert's will be talking about Mr. Monster's Comic Crypt. We actually had him at a con a few years ago. And it looks like just a lot of the different characters they're covering. It should be a lot of fun. It looks like a fun issue. So I'm definitely going to be picking up that one. Had I had the money, again, you talked about the Kirby 100 at DC. There's a Kirby 100 soft cover. I'd like to pick up Swamp Men, Muck Monsters and Their Makers. I'd like to pick up Marvel Comics in the 1960s.
I'm going to warn you about the Marvel Comics in the 60s. It is an index.
Ah.
It's not articles. It's an index of who did what.
Oh, well, but I'd like to pick it up anyways. But
yeah.
You know, these are books.
But just so you know, it's, okay, this character, you know, this issue was drawn by, you know, was written by Stan, it was drawn by Jack, it was inked by this person, first appearance of blah, 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 blah. It's an index and not a series of articles.
So more like
a
reference book.
Yeah, it's more like a reference book and a lot like the Marvel indexes that came out in the 70s and 80s.
So most of these books run anywhere from $27 to $37, so, you know, budget-wise, I can't afford them, but usually Tomorrow does a great deal. If they're not putting them on sale online, they have their PFD versions that you can download for sometimes about a third the cost. So, you know, not only pay attention in previews, but go to their website, and you should be able to pick up a lot of this stuff. Even the out-of-print stuff you can pick up.
And they do have sales, so if you get on their mailing list,
and we're getting
they'll shoot
to
you
Christmas.
An email when they have a sale.
Black Friday, they had a big Black Friday sale last year, if I recall, because I picked up quite a bit.
For me, in Titan Comics, the Hard Case Crime really has kind of taken off in there. There's three series, but I wanted to point out there is a new hardcover called Babylon Berlin, which is set in the 1920s in Germany. And it's, let's see, following the unfortunate incident of manslaughter and a moment of radical change in Germany, Detective Inspector Garen Roth moves to Berlin. He stumbles onto an ever-growing criminal investigation into a pornographic sex ring, discovering he can trust no one, not even the police. It is an adaptation of a novel that's going to be turned into a Netflix series. I'm excited about it, and you get a sample of the art. It's drawn black and white, and it looks, you know, looks amazing. And I have not read the novel yet, so. But over on the next page, on the previous page, 408, they've got five of the Hard Case Crime novels that you can order through Diamond. And I'm going to tell you right now, the comedy is finished. Joe, are you a Bob Hope fan in any way?
I have been, yeah.
You'll want to read that because it's a book that Donald Westlake wrote in the 70s that no one would publish, which is kind of a what if Bob Hope was kidnapped story.
Hmm.
Joyland is my favorite Stephen King book from the last 20 years. It's set at a fading amusement park in the 70s. And that's all I'm going to tell you. But it's a crime novel by Stephen King. The Good Guys is a book that they based that movie on. And then The Cocktail Waitress by James Cain. James Cain is the author who wrote The Postman Always Rings Twice, Double Indemnity. His crime stories are pretty legendary. And then they have a new Donald Westlake book that's never been published before. It's another of his lost books called Help, I Am Held Prisoner. In prison for a practical joke gone wrong, Harold Kent tries his best to keep a low profile, but it's too late. He's in it up to his neck, and that net may just wind up in a noose. Donald Westlake's novels are phenomenal. If you like crime stories, if you like noir stories, you're going to like it. The last thing I want to point out isn't in the comics, but in the magazines, because I don't know why they do this, because there are other magazine-sized comics that get listed in comics. But for this one, they list it in magazines, and that is issue 13 of The Creeps. And The Creeps is a magazine that's trying very hard to be like the Warren Mags. It's only 52 pages for $5.95, but it's magazine size, and they usually have a lot of the original Warren artists. The cover is by Richard Corbin, and I believe there's some Corman inside. But if you like those black and white horror magazines, this is one that's trying really hard to recapture that feeling. And the longer it goes, the more they're getting away from the editor writing all the stories, which is good because he was doing way too much pastiche style. And he's getting other writers who can do horror stories that don't read like a rehash of stuff from the 60s. And that's previews.
Woohoo!
Any of the tchotchkes and things like that that you jumped out on, Joe?
Not this round.
I did not buy any either, but I did buy something at the Sprawl of America.
Uh-oh.
Yes, when I went with Sharon to get my donuts.
Instead of, doing a podcast with me, he went to get, again, Tim Hortons. Ugh.
Damn right. But we also went to a place called Lunchbox, which has all the pop culture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were bargaining out the Twin Peaks stuff.
Ooh!
Joe, I have a Twin Peaks sheriff coat. I have the same coat that Harry wore back in the original series. So I'm pretty excited about that. And because it was buy one, get one half price, I also bought a Rocket Raccoon tiki mug. So now I can drink rum drinks on my days off, which means I'd never get to have rum drinks. We've already done the ads.
All right.
So, Joe, what's going on the eBays?
It's relist week.
Relist week.
Yep.
So it's reruns.
Pretty much, because what happened was is last con, when I blew out all my stuff, at least 19 long boxes worth, when I came back, I spent that week putting everything back on eBay that didn't sell. All that stuff after 30 days quits, and then I turn around and I either relist it. A lot of times I'll lower the price on it. So if you saw something that you were looking at and it disappeared, it'll be back, because what I'm doing now, instead of having all 500 things like it did on Sunday, and I'm just kind of putting them up 25 every 4 or 5 hours, so that, suddenly I went from like 800 things on eBay down to about 150, and they're working their way back. So I said, as of this, by the time you all hear this podcast, it'll be up and running again. As of this moment, I've still got about 160 things to, time out and put back on. Still putting new stuff on. I'll just look at a couple. Speaking of Obama, you remember Cerebus Archives number 2, the variant cover that had not only zombies, but Obama on it.
I did not know that.
That Dave, he was a guy to always jump on a trend, and he put them both on there. I'll save that one for the Astrode at the end. Corey, did you ever watch Count Duckula?
I did not. Now, I always heard that was a spinoff of Danger Mouse. Is that correct?
You are correct. Because what happened was Count Duckula showed up as a villain on Danger Mouse. And then he eventually ended up with his own show. And for some reason, Marvel came out in the, was it the 90s?
Yeah, early 90s. And they had that at the comic shop.
Yeah, had their own comics shop. Own comic.
Yeah.
Duckula. And they have not released the complete collection of it. Later on, they did include Danger Mouse in there. And one of my favorite Count Duckulas is number 8, which has a photo cover with Geraldo Rivera together again for the first time. And, boy, that is one I am dying to get autographed. Even as we sit and talk, I'm putting more stuff on eBay. So if you saw something that disappeared, it'll probably be back. Keep looking at new stuff. Of course, if you, as a listener of this here show, you see something you're interested in, let me know. Drop a line, either buy it, and I'll include something big from my not as vast as it was, but still pretty vast and growing all the time collection. Phew, I got to think of a better name for that. Or I might do something nice for you, you know, like maybe give you a copy of Worldwide News that I'm sitting on. So, crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. Go to the beginning of the show and or go to Corey's, that their Solitaire Rose website or whatever, and you can link right to it.
And you're supposed to say the line from Duke Nukem.
Oh, if you want. I don't want to be a plagiarist.
No, you're the one who always used to say, come get some.
Oh, I thought you meant I'd buy that for a dollar.
Well, and they stole that from RoboCop.
Yeah, well, usually. I thought that was at that Crash'em game.
Oh, I don't know.
Big money, big prizes. I'd buy that for a dollar, or as we called it, a quarter eater. But
nope, that was originally in RoboCop.
Okay, we are just chock full of trivia here.
I have a brain full of worthless information. And now we come to my favorite part of the show. No, 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 not where I get cute brunettes to try on hats. It's freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Which we could also subtitle, what are you freaking on in the past 24 freaking hours?
That's right, because it's only been 24 hours.
I've got three. And they're quick, and I'll just let them quick. I told you I was applying for a TSA job.
Yes.
I got reposted for some reason, even though, and I'm not sure what that means. That either means the chosen one who was supposed to apply for it and get the job did not, so they're reposting it. Or maybe more likely they just didn't get a lot of people apply for it to begin with. So I just spent a few minutes. It was a lot easier this time around because I knew everything was online. I had my resume ready to go. So I had to reapply that. I have spent the last 24 hours with a case of gut rot. I don't know what the hell I ate. Chris and I had a pizza. It's affected her kind of the same way. Oh, man. You know how you just, oh, wow, that felt good. And then you feel nauseous. And then you're like, okay, which way is it going to go? Oh. But it seems to be clearing out. I've just been eating light, eating some fruit, and just real mellow today, drinking lots of water. And, of course, one of the things about working weekends that I absolutely hate is I miss special deals, like half price. Books had a 50% off coupon that was only good for yesterday, and I couldn't use it, couldn't go. You know, there were tons of things I could have bought, especially some of these omnibuses that are floating around or like the Sinestro War Absolute at half price, and it's already $40 to begin with. I mean, that would have been a fabulous deal. So, but you knew people were running around. I imagine if I went to half price tomorrow, a lot of these big, big books would have been gone. But I can't use the coupon because I work weekends. Sucks to be me. Corey, what are you freaking on these last 24 hours?
Well, I talked about it a little. We had a bad movie night Saturday night, and one of the movies was actually good. And I don't mean, you know, it should be winning any awards, but I mean it was competently made. And that kind of annoyed me. So I am now on the search for horrid, horrid movies. So if any of the listeners know of any incompetent films, we're talking Ed Wood level. We're talking stuff like would show up on Mystery Science Theater 3000. The more obscure, the better.
I got a few I'll send you away because I actually have copies of them.
Email me at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com because we're looking to bring the pain next year. I've talked before in the past, one of my least favorite performers from the 70s is Paul Naschy, who made a lot of Italian werewolf movies. They are threatening to get me not one, but both of the box sets of Paul Naschy's films. So I need to find stuff to kind of beat them back and make them stop. There was a TV streaming network that started about a year and a half ago. Joe, do you remember the Comic-Con HQ, which was going to show stuff from San Diego, and then it was going to branch out to other comic conventions, and they had like four or five series, one of which was Mark Hamill going around and interviewing people about their nerdy collections. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Really, the panels, they only did the panels for the first year. So if you go look, there's panels from 2016 and a few old ones from 2015, and not even all the panels, it was just the TV panels. You didn't have any of the Mark Evanier stuff, you didn't have any of the Kirby stuff, you didn't have the Eisner Awards, you didn't have Marvel's presentation or DC's presentation or Dark Horse's presentation or IDW's presentation or Image's presentation or any of that. And then in the last few months, they really haven't been putting up any new stuff, but they've been putting up movies, and the kind of movies that all the streaming services have. You know, stuff from the 80s that could get cheap, like Chud.
It's just fun to say. Hey,
Beastmaster.
Just coughed up a Chud.
Or Beastmaster. Or, well, they have decided to throw in the towel, kind of, sort of, and now they are just available as part of Amazon. They no longer, if you try to subscribe, they'll go, no, 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 that's okay. And if you try to add them to the Roku says, no, 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 they don't exist anymore. They're one of the sub-channels on Amazon now, and they're free. And I think the problem was that, you know, this year, leading up to the convention, they didn't do much of anything. And then at the convention itself, they didn't have live coverage. They didn't put the panels up. And I've always said one of the things that San Diego should do is videotape every panel and either have it available on a YouTube service or some other service because people would watch them. But no, no. And, yeah, open enrollment blows chunks.
Which is funny because I got mine starting today.
Well, and for me, it's, you know, I did mine first day, went online, click, 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 done. I, you know, moved to a different dental plan because I've had a lot of dental work done, and I don't need as much done now that I've had a lot of it done. For medical, I need to do another year in the plan I'm in, and then I can move to a high-deductible plan because I will have put a whole bunch of money into my HSA, and this is boring the hell out of people. But these are the things that you need to do for your benefits. You need to read up on them. You need to plan. Medical benefits are hard. They're confusing. And when you got the idiot in charge saying that he's going to put together a plan that's going to be cheaper and better than anything, no, he's not. He's not. Medical plans will never be cheap. But boy, do I get a lot of people who, you know, they call, they don't even know what plan they're in. You describe the plans, and they all say the same thing. Wow, that's really expensive.
Well, yeah, the shareholders got to get their value out of your sickness or health.
Well, and not only that, you know, people were, in the 90s, people got mad about HMOs. They hated HMOs. So they instead have now introduced high-deductible health plans. You could go to any doctor you want, but you're going to have a $2,000 deductible or a $4,500 deductible. And that's just the way it is because you complained about them HMOs. They got rid of them. And I talked about it on the last show. If I see somebody coming on the password reset line and I could tell that they're over 50, I just lay my head on the desk because I know I'm going to be on the phone with that person for 20 to 30 minutes. I don't know what it is about people. They don't know how to reset their passwords. All right. So, geeking, Joe. What are you geeking on?
I read the entire new X-Men that Grant Morrison and Frank quietly did.
Yes.
As you know, I bought the graphic novels back on one of our geeking days when we went to Nostalgia Zone. And I don't believe I sold the comics. I think they might still be sitting in my accumulation of crap. Or maybe they disappeared at the sale. I don't know. But it reads a lot better as a graphic novel because I, a lot of times, was so totally confused during the initial reading of it that, you know, I mean, and one of the big ones was like at the end of one issue when they're trying to figure out who killed Miss Frost. You know, well, where did Cyclops go? And then, boom, next thing you know, they're dealing with Wolverine and Phantom X or whatever. But, again, a fantastic series of a fun run. I was a little shocked because a lot of times I had to stop and realize, okay, where did Sublime go? What happened to the Cuckoo Sisters? I know Cyclops is dead, so I had to run to Wikipedia and realize, oh, my gosh, look at all the shit that's happened from X-Men to now.
Of course, the thing is, Joe, that's 15 years.
I know. It's just crazy. I thought it'd be more. I was going to bring this up because they're bringing back, you know, Jean Grey with Phoenix Resurrection. I hope this is her permanent return. I hope they don't do another, let's kill her off, because it's been done. It's been done brilliantly by Claremont and Byrne. Done, again, really well, again, with Morrison and Quietly. Bring the poor gal back. Just let her be, okay? Matter of fact, if you want to kill her, just make her so that, you know, she's not. It's like, okay, she dies, but the next issue, she's still alive. Why? Well, because the Phoenix power feels bad for fucking her life up for the last 50 years. So we're going to give it to you. Or maybe the Secret Wars brought her back. You know, as Reed and company are busy making the world, he's like, you know, we should really bring Jean Grey back, maybe without the Phoenix. Whatever. Just, I'm looking forward to the miniseries, so we'll see what happens there. The other thing I got to read, Punisher the Platoon from Max Comics. Again, Garth Ennis is back. Issue number 5, and I believe, is it 6 issues?
Yes.
And number 5's in the current previews, so I was able to sit down. I have a number of people that don't like it because they wanted to sit down and get an old, they wanted the old shoot 'em up Frank going crazy. But this one actually a little bit more interesting, kind of dealing with a guy poking into Frank's first Vietnam command. And maybe it's because I read 2 issues in a row, I actually enjoyed it pretty good. And the amazing thing is I read all that in the last 24 hours because it's really, really slow at work. You know, as we're doing it, we're in kind of one of those quasi Twilight Zone periods where it's really slow because next week it was really fast because it's Thanksgiving. So we'll just have to deal with that. Corey, what you geeking on?
I talked about it a little in the past, but I want to talk a little more about the Carlton Arrow comic, which is kind of a reboot of the Carlton comics. It has a E-Man story and then some other stories. But I want to point out something when you pick it up and look at it. It's colored very brightly. And I want to bring that up because if you pick up a DC comic, they use a lot of dark tone, a lot of muted tone. Marvel, not as much, but they also use that. But the stuff in this Carlton Arrow, really bright primary colors. And it really jumped off the stands. And as I read it, it jumped out to me because so many comics now, the colorists think, oh, everything needs to be with a lot of dark blues and blacks and grays and dark colors because it's moody and it's always nighttime. But it was nice to read something where the sun actually shines, where not everybody's gloomy and depressed. It really read like, it didn't really read like Carlton books because Carlton books were always printed like crap. But it was kind of a 70s happy superhero book. And I was very excited about that. Marvel's doing a bunch of one-shots for a series that were canceled a while back. And I've read, the first one I have picked up is Power Pack. And it doesn't pick up where the old one left off. It is set in the modern era. But it's an issue of Power Pack, written by Devin Grayson, who has not done comics for quite a while. And I kind of wondered where Devin Grayson went. But it's a really good story. It reminds me of why I liked Power Pack back in the day. And it's one of those where they're trying these books, and they say, you know, this is the coming next issue, nothing. There is no next issue. But if you like this, write us and let us know. And I imagine if the sales are good, they may try some of them. But the Power Pack one-shot was really good. I liked it. And then the last thing I am geeking on, because, you know, haven't had a lot of time, but I have read the Jessica Jones comic that Bendis has done. And, Joe, I don't know if you've read it yet.
Nope, waiting for the graphic novel.
The first story arc is Jessica Jones has fallen apart. She ends up in jail. She's taken the baby and left Luke Cage. She's back in being a detective again. Her life has fallen apart. And the story, the first story arc is kind of letting us know that her life has fallen apart and showing, and it plays it out to show us why. And it's very clever story writing. But it also has a subplot that's going to pick up in future issues, and that is she takes a case of a woman who said her husband is acting weird all of a sudden. He's talking about how he had a wife and a child, and the wife had a different name, and the woman is upset because she can't have children. But he keeps saying, no, I had a wife and a child, because he remembers being in a different universe. And he puts forth the idea when he's interrogated that when the universes got put back together, not everybody went back to the universe they were from. Things weren't put back together right.
Which we already know from Miles Morales' Spider-Man.
Yep, but this gives it a more sinister feel, and I think it's bad that Bendis is leaving, so I hope someone picks up the plot thread if he doesn't completely use it. But I like the idea of things didn't get put back together right after Secret Wars. Things are messed up, and people are just now starting to realize it, which is a cool story hook. But I'm really liking the book. I don't know if they'll even continue it after Bendis leaves, but you want the weird thing, Joe?
Hmm.
I was looking at the sales figures for October. Jessica Jones is outselling the X-Men books.
Oh.
So, I wonder if Marvel's going to keep that thing going after Bendis leaves.
Yeah, probably.
Well, believe it or not, kids.
Corey, I'm a little disappointed. You didn't even comment about my cameo in the latest Thor Digest.
I didn't know you were in the Thor Digest.
Well, yeah, I was in that panel. I was the guy, the thug was like, no matter what his name is, get him, Joe! And I took a shot at him. But then I got fawked. That's P-T-H-O-K-K, because Thor turned around and, like, threw the guy right into me.
Oh.
It doesn't pay to try to shoot Thor.
Nope.
I'm poor.
He's got that hammer.
Hammer time.
Well, believe it or not, kids, through three dropped calls, you have been listening to us talk funny books for at least an hour and a half.
At least.
And we say it every week. The comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
For this shiny new dime, Corey.
Oh, a shiny new dime.
And this is a book that I just put out of eBay's. What is the final issue number of the Uncanny X-Men?
Oh!
First series.
It was 5-something.
I was going to ask you what the baby grand piano on the Hindenburg was made out of, but I thought we got to keep it, you know, comic.
Yeah, we got to keep it comic related.
Yeah, pink skin, by the way. Pink pigskin.
I don't remember, so I'm going to guess.
It didn't burn up in the Hindenburg, because at the time it crashed, it wasn't on the Hindenburg, but did get destroyed later during a bombing in World War II.
I am going to guess that it was issue 544.
Bingo! He gets a dime!
Wow!
And if you want it, you can go on the eBays and get yourself a copy. And who knows, maybe I'll include a dime.
Is it worth anything?
It is. That's why it's on the eBays.
Oh, how much is it going for?
I'm going to tell you everything here. Go to the eBays and check it out. Because you know what time it is now.
What time is it?
It's time to hit my music.
Funk is on a roll.
We done, bitches!